Hello and welcome to a Board Gamer podcast. We're going to be covering a UKG special today. My name is Matt and we've got...
Tim.
Nice.
Board Gamer Tim.
It feels like it's been a while, so if we're a bit hesitant on some kind of stuff, then yeah, you know what it is. But yeah, how was UKG for you?
Yeah, really good. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I love it every year. So
yeah, it was really good. I thought the amount of people that were there was just... crazy. I've heard that it was about 70,000 footfall altogether.
Yeah, something like that.
Which is 10% up from the year before. So, yeah, just a really good event. Met some great people there. Met some new people. Met some old friends. Played some games. Bought some games. And drank some mead.
Nice.
I'm trying to think if I covered all grounds there. Cool. We'll get straight into it. So UKG this year, I thought it was a really good event. It felt like there was more space this year.
Yeah.
And I also thought that like the walkways felt like a bit bigger, where previously, especially around the major stalls like Chaos Cards, Zatu, it felt a bit...
cramped.
Yeah. Where this time I thought there was way more space. The only thing that was a little bit strange that I thought was just getting used to the new layout.
Yeah,
I just 100%. Kept on forgetting where I was half the time.
Yeah, 100%. I think the whole going for years, you kind of like have these landmarks, I find. Like Hall 1 had Catan and you knew where that was. So if someone said I'm at Catan or where the Star Wars bit just next to the stairs, you could kind of use them as like reference points to find out. As the new one, it was a bit sort of like, I know if we like lost or got lost from each other, we were like, where are you? And we're like, no idea. And we're trying to use the banners in the
banners in the sky. That was all our reference point. The one thing that I noticed was there didn't seem to be as many, like independent ones I noticed. I thought maybe there was... Maybe that's just the way that it was laid out. But
yeah,
I thought there was more last time. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really say. I know what you're saying, though. It did feel a little bit like that.
Yeah, I might be completely off the mark there. But yeah, that was just my initial thinking.
I realised on the sort of like last day that there was actually big parts of it I hadn't actually gone around. And then I went and had a look around and it was like sort of... we finally saw some of the stands that I needed to catch up with some people on. But overall, yeah. At first, it threw me. I was a bit sort of... I didn't know if I liked the change of it at first because I was a bit like, I can't figure out where anything is. By the end of it, I loved it, I think. I quite liked the way it was all structured. And it was interesting, actually, because originally they'd lost Hall 1. It was somebody told me it was supposed to be Tesla event or something like that, but then they pulled out last minute, and then it was open. So they had lost it, and that's why they went to Hall 4 instead of Hall 1. But because they pulled out, they used Hall 1 for the ticketing and bring and buy.
Really?
Yeah, and then that kind of opened up it even more, I think. It was big. It was. There was lots to do, obviously, and still. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah, I thought it was really good. The feedback that I'd give is I'd like to see more of like the playing side. There was quite a lot, but trying to get on the tables is just like a nightmare for some of the stuff. I know you went to try and get onto Luthier.
Yeah.
Struggled on that one, and there was another one I really wanted to try, Galactic Cruise as well. That was really hard to get on, and Ahoy we played, but we ended up waiting so long for a table. It kind of like the whole morning was gone at that point.
100%. I feel like that happened last year as well. Do you know, we were just waiting around for the table, and you kind of have to just queue and wait until... I agree, I think it would be nice to have some more tables to play some stuff.
I guess the moneymaker is the selling, really.
Yeah, 100%.
So I understand why they do it. But yeah, and also Eden went to play The Last of Us and they kind of messed up the play time. I think you ended up not playing.
Yeah. So we booked on the night before. So I think it was the Friday night we went to the stand because Eden wanted to play it, being a big fan of the game and the show, I guess. Wanted to play that. We went on the Friday. They had a QR code. We scanned it. She booked in for two people to play. So we were going to go and play. I think you went to go and check, but it was fully booked by the time you got there. And then when we were there, they said, oh, sorry, something's... I mean, it wasn't their fault. They said that they had a problem with the booking system and it was booking too many people on or something. These things happen. So they only said... They said, we've got one space left. And I just said to Eden, you want to play it, you play. But thankfully, we were able to get on one of the other Escape the Dark games. We went on the castle one, didn't we, just to sit... Because we hadn't played that system before, so we just managed to jump on that. But some stands I felt like there were like you could demo things, and then some stands was just so busy you couldn't get on it at all. So
yeah, there was I think the biggest feedback that I'd give out of everything was the AC. It seemed like they just could not nail it down whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was so hot. I mean, I wasn't there on a Friday, but I heard it was bad. Boiling. Yeah.
It was like they didn't switch it on, I think. It felt a bit too hot. And when there's lots of bodies around, it just starts getting a bit, like, warm. Everyone's radiating heat, so.
Yeah, and Saturday was the same. And then Sunday, it was like they finally figured out how to work it.
Yeah.
It was actually quite cold Sunday, which I wasn't complaining about after the other days. But yeah, I think that would be my biggest takeaway.
It's like the you overcompensate and then it goes too wet, much the other way.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the change. I thought it was quite a nice breeze coming through the whole thing. So, but yeah, it was good.
No, it was good. I really enjoyed it, and I'm already looking forward to next year.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we got Essen Spiel to go to.
Yeah, I'd love to. Oh. Yeah. I feel like UKGA, being from the UK, will always have a place in my heart. I'll go every year.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it will just be a big part of my year that weekend. I do really like the aircons, to be honest. They were a bit more smaller and more about playing the games, which is quite nice because we end up spending so much money buying games, and then it's the age old thing of this, you know, the old shelf of shame of staying there and not getting played. So I quite like the aircons for the fact that you can get a few games out. So they will, but UKG is something special. I think because we've got so many friends in the hobby that they all come together at UKGA.
Yeah.
We all go for the weekend and we just get to like meet up, play games, just enjoy the time. And I think it's great.
Nice. Cool. Let's move on. So I was thinking about what to do next. Shall we do what games we played at UKGA? So I'll start off. I'm not sure what you covered on the Friday. But on the Saturday, we played Flip 7.
Yeah.
And, yeah, loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
Really good. I think everyone at that event played Flip 7, to be honest.
And bought it, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little spoiler there for what we bought. But, it is a bit like all the hype, but I kind of understand. It just seems one of them games that's so easy to get out with casual gamers.
Yeah,
you play 100%. With your family. And I really like the element of you don't have to... The rules overteach is so low.
Yeah.
You can do it in like... I think the guy that taught us done it in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, really good.
I love it. We saw the stand. I really wanted to buy it that weekend, but I didn't know. And then Eden spotted it. So we went over and had a quick go, even though I've played it a few times. But I just had to go and play again because it's just so good. Such an easy game. I think we love the push your luck games just for a bit of a change. I'm rubbish at it, but I do really enjoy it. But it was definitely worth playing. If I think if you go to an event and you see Flip 7, you should definitely give it a go.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of my favourite card games I think I've played this year.
Yeah.
So easy. It's a bit blackjack-esque in terms of how it plays, I think. But yeah, really good. I don't know if it's the best. It says on the box, it says, I think it's like the best card game ever. Okay. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it is really good.
That's a claim to
to good make, marketing ploy.
Yeah. I think it is one of those games that will be on a lot of board gaming shelves.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So it could be, maybe, in time.
I think it will become one of them staples, you know, like the mind.
Yeah, 100%.
I can see that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's a great game. Love it.
Cool. What do you play then?
What did I play on Saturday? We actually ended up going to the Alley Cat stand. And we, a funny story actually, we caught the train on the Saturday. We drove the other 2 days, but caught the train on Saturday. We got to Birmingham New Street, and obviously there's the plethora of all the board gamers that were going to UKGE, and we got on the stand and we saw this couple, St. John and Ruth, and they were actually demoing on the Alley Cat stand, just helping out, and they were demoing Timbertown. So I'd seen this and I'd seen the hype kind of coming up to UKGE, but didn't really know much about it, and then they mentioned a bit more about it, and I said, okay, I might go and have a play, like a game of that. So me and Eden went over, we had a game, really, really good game, really liked it. If you like River Valley Glassworks, it kind of fits within that sort of game, where you've got this kind of river that's moving down and it's taking things down with it, but it's also got that sort of tiny towns. You've got cards that you've got to try and get set. You score different buildings, score for different order in different ways. So like yellow villages want to be in pairs.
Yeah.
Anything like maybe Cascadia or something like that. Harmonies, where you've got that combo scoring of how things sit together on the actual board. It's got that sort of element to it as well. So yeah, really enjoyed it. And what I did like about it, because I don't always particularly like getting loads of two-player games, because I don't regularly play two-player. We're always like sort of board game days where there's a few of us, but that was the thing that was kind of like, should I buy it or not? But one thing I did like about it is that it had this, the end game scoring, there was different options for the cards, so you can vary it up, have different scoring mechanisms. There's a few little extra things in the game that kind of change it, and I just thought it was actually really unique for a little two-player game. Yeah. So yeah, it was really good.
Nice. I think I want to give that one a go. And there's another one. Is it Tiny Towns? Is that related at all?
Or? I think I can't remember who publishes Tiny Towns, but that's you flip a card and you have to put this building on your board, and they score depending on how you combo the buildings up, sort of thing. Similar premise. Some like to be in pairs, some need to be scored if you have, if they sit in the corners and things like the board and things like that. So I do like these little games. I think they're quite unique, nice, easy beginning sort of games. I played Tiny Towns with a couple of friends, and we had some people who had never really played board games before, and we played that and they got it quite quickly. And that's one of the things they said to me, which I loved, was bearing in mind they don't really play board games like that, he turned to me and he says, are you one of those guys that will stay up all night now thinking what you should have done? And I was like, yes, I found another board gamer. And I was like, exactly that. That's what you want.
Yeah.
So it's kind of got that side to it where it makes you think, oh, what could have done better? And so yeah, Tiny Town's really good.
Oh, that does sound good. Cool. How else did we play on the Saturday? Sorry, I'm just trying to jog my memory back here. Me and Joe went to play Ox. First ever game of it. It's been on my to play for ages. And played Ox. Just the girl who teached us was so good as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'd actually watched one playthrough of it previously. And the rules teach, it was one of them ones, it went on for about an hour on the YouTube video that I watched. And I was half watching it, half not. So I remembered little bits of it. And she managed to get the rules out pretty much in 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
We all had like a pretty good understanding of how the game played. And she even managed to like bring someone in. We started three player, and the guy went, "Can I join as well?" And she just like seamlessly got us all involved. And it was, yeah, really good.
Oh, good.
The game was just brilliant as well. We only played one chapter, and that was enough to convince me to get it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was just so good. Nice. I think it is definitely my type of game. I can see other people maybe not enjoying it as much.
Okay.
Very much Cold Worldy.
Yeah.
Bit Roots, odd. Yeah. Oath, you know, standard.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe a little bit more accessible than them games. But yeah.
He's a clever boy, isn't he, Colwell? Yeah. He makes some really cool stuff. I mean, I'm a huge fan, so Root has always been and will forever be on my shelf. I don't think I'll ever get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favourites. But like you say, it is really difficult. I don't like teaching the game because it's so complicated. And I always worry that people aren't having the best time with it because there's just so many factors to the asymmetric side of it. So I always worry about that. When he released Arx, I bought it pretty much straight away because I knew it was going to be something on my street. And I remember Tom from Shut Up and Sit Down reviewing it, and I know he loves it. He references quite a lot. I think they like smash it out all the time, but that got me really excited about it. But it's good. I'm glad that you did. I guess you only played like one round of it, or
yeah. We're gonna play it soon, so wait for the upcoming review of that. But I think I'm going to give the base game a few goes because I do this quite frequently. I'll just be like, oh, this is just like the best game ever. I'm buying everything.
Yeah.
And then it just sits on my shelf for like 3 years. So I want to get the base game out, play some games of that. And then if I can get the group to play it, I'm going to do the campaign as well.
Cool. Sounds good.
That's my plan.
Anyway. How did Joe get on with it, being sort of like relatively new to board games?
Yeah, he got it. I think the struggle is, and to be honest, I feel the same. I've played a lot of games, but picking up the strategy straight away is quite tricky.
Yeah,
like 100%, I didn't really know. I was thinking, well, if I put the bases here and the starports there, that means I can shift these. Yeah. But I didn't really know how they would tie into the
point system. Yeah, like ambitions.
The ambition track. So it was kind of just like all piecing it together. It was like, I know what moves to make, but I don't know what's going to be effective.
Yeah, 100%.
And maybe that just comes with playing more games.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really good.
Cool, sounds good. Oh, I like it.
So cool. That was Arx. I won't go into too much depth as, I think we'll have a lot more to say that on another podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what else did you play then?
I don't remember what else I've played other than Escape the Dark. That was kind of like a last minute thing, like I say.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier that I couldn't get on the Last of Us one. So we ended up, I think there was a table free for the castle. So I think there was four of us jumped on that one.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. I didn't know what to expect because I didn't really know much about the system. I've heard of it forever, but just never really looked into it. I do like the art style. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that sort of noir, black and white sort of style of, it's like my favourite nearly. I thought that was pretty cool. I wasn't expecting it to be such a, like a story-driven narrative game. Mm-hmm. And then if you haven't played it, it's just basically a path to the boss, but you have to go through these different places and scenarios. You have to play out these cards until you get, and once you've finished, you can go to the next bit. Each event has something. Whoever leads it, they call them chapter cards. So whoever leads the party in, there could be a problem that affects you only, and you might have to roll a dice. But normally, it's like a combat situation or something where you get in a fight. They have a dice pool depending on who it is, what strength and how big your group is. So sometimes that affects it. And then you all have like a a dice that's unique to your character you play in. So some are better at might, some are better at cunning, some are better at wisdom or intelligence. And yeah, you're just trying to roll dice to try and beat the dice that's kind of there. And you all kind of take it in turns. It was quite fun. It was. I think we all like kind of. I don't know about you, but I felt like okay, it's okay. It's just a kind of a story driven. It's quite simple. And then we got to the boss, and I just suddenly got super excited because he was a real badass. He was like really mean. Yeah. He every round we didn't kill him, he grew stronger and he gets the dice back, and it just messed things up. And I think we were a bit naive going in thinking, oh, this is quite easy. And then we all just got destroyed, which was good fun.
Yeah,
I like that. Was. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was the same as you. Like, it started off and I was just like, because that one was the table that was just free.
Yeah.
So I started off a bit apprehensive thinking, no, this is all right. And it's just like a typical dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
Bit more story driven. And then got about halfway through and I was like, you know what, this is actually all right. And then, as you said, the last boss just, yeah, really cool. And there's different bosses as well.
Yeah,
so mix it up a little bit. And there's also Sector was the other game that they had,
yeah,
which is more like, yeah, the sci-fi theme. And I think it includes, like, in a complexity scale, Escape to the Dark Tower seems to be like the bottom.
Yeah.
Then you get to Sector, it's like a bit medium. And then I know you've played Last of Us. Yeah. Is that like medium heavy, would you
yeah,
say?
I'd say it's a bit more on the heavy side. I wouldn't say it's overly complicated. I think if you've played the Tower one or whatever it's called, the basic one, I think you've got pretty much 75% of the rules down. There's only a few others. I think the Sector and Last of Us bring in like weapons that they have like ammo and then what I do like, so I played Last of Us, so Eden loved it so much she went and bought it. We've played it about 3 or 4 times since.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the first time we lost and I just couldn't cope. So I was like, right, come over, we're going to do it again. And then we've kind of like cheated because I've been playing with my wife as well, and she rolled, lost and died, which means we all die. But then she realised, oh, hang on a minute, I've got a gun. So we were like, let's pretend that never happened and you rolled your gun instead. Just little things like that. We were like cheating. I was like, didn't quite sit right. So we've been trying to play it since just to... But it's really good. I really like it. It's quite mean. It's not forgiving at all. So like, it's quite hard to... Once you've used your gun up, it's quite hard to find ammo. You have to like search for ammo, and
I like that though because
I love it. Yeah.
That's representative of the game.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's really like you've and you get like crafting items. You can turn stuff, so you can get like explosives and something else, and that will turn into a bomb or a Molotov or a smoke bomb that helps against like ranged attacks. So you've got all these really cool like mechanisms. But I would say that, yeah, it is a little bit more complicated. If you like that crunchier sort of narratively driven game, then get The Last of Us. It's absolutely brilliant. If you like games like Dead of Winter, I prefer this to Dead of Winter because I find Dead of Winter is great. It's got this narrative, but sometimes like you have the crossroads system, and the crossroads system only gets affected if the player does a certain thing, and quite often that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get affected. The other thing is you find that because you've got this secret objective and you need something, you go to the areas that have more of that stuff and you just pretty much sit there just trying to search through the deck to get your stuff. And I don't find it that interesting. Yeah. The first few times I really loved it, but I kind of got a bit samey. Mm-hmm. This is quite different each time. There's lots of different variations to it, what can happen. I like the dice rolling system to overcome the challenges. Yeah. I think that's really cool and unique. I really recommend it. If you want something lighter, though, definitely go for the base game of it. But if you definitely want something a bit more crunchier, maybe get the other two.
Nice. That was Escape to the Dark Tower and The Last of Us.
Could be
a combined one then.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So I think... Oh, no, we're missing one more. We both played it. Hoi.
Oh, yeah.
The other leader game.
There's another game as well, I've just remembered.
Oh, really? Yeah. Another one.
Let's do Ahoy.
Let's do Ahoy. So Ahoy is... We went in there and I think it was one of them ones. It was just like we had... Oh, I know what the other one is now. Sorry, yeah. I'm going off. So Ahoy leader game. We played Arcs and I was like, I'd like to give this a go. But I don't know, maybe the theme looked a little bit like more childlike.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, I don't know. We'll give it a go, see what it's about. And I think you, when we was waiting for it, we said in the queue, you told me about how the system works with the two like factions, yeah, and then the other two.
Smugglers.
Yeah. And I was just like, I don't know, quite, is this just going to be really boring for the smugglers?
Yeah.
And we played it and yeah, it wasn't. We just loved it. And you was one of the smugglers, yeah, and I played the shark. The faction name.
Bluefin Squadron.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, I think it sounds something like that.
Yeah, and yeah, it was so good. Another really good teach. The guy that we played with, one of the creators,
yeah,
from Power Vacuum, yeah, he played with us, and oh, it was, yeah, really cool. I thought it was not as difficult as Root. It felt like Root Light.
Yeah,
that's how I describe it. And I really like the exploration element to it. And there's going to be two expansions coming out as well. So more to add to that, yeah, game as well.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly what you were saying. I had the same sort of like sentiments towards it that I felt like maybe it was going to be a boring route. I wouldn't say boring. I just thought it was like, I've got Root, so I don't need Ahoy.
Yeah.
I thought it was a light version. And yeah, when I read about that, I read that only there's only really two factions and the others play smugglers. I was a bit like, so two of you aren't really kind of in the game. But it was such a wrong, like preconceived idea that I had, because the smugglers were actually great fun.
Yeah.
Really got to strategically think how you're going to do your moves and where you're going to go. Caleb from the Power Vacuum stand, he wasn't the other smuggler, and he just completely outplayed it. There is a look, yeah, of the draw, like of where the, but he just seemed to land all of these really good like locations where you can like pick. It's basically you're playing a pick up and deliver game, but you're affected by the war that's happening between the mollusks, yeah, and the blue the sharks basically. Which I thought was a cool little concept. I guess Root is a similar thing because it's actually a war between the cats and the birds, and then the other two are kind of like just being affected by it and they're in, yeah, the game because of, yeah, it. But it was a clever system. I honestly loved it, and I was sitting there thinking, I have to buy this game. We'll find out if I did or not. But yeah, I thought I really got buy this, it's so good. And I'll tell you what I did actually like as well is they've got all these expansions coming out later in the year,
mm,
with all these other factions,
yeah,
that make it even better again. So I can see that being a definite like buy all the extras.
I've seen this game seems so divisive. I noticed I went onto a Discord page for it and half of the people were like, this is boring Roost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then others were like, oh, this is like the best game ever.
I loved it. I thought it was, yeah, great.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I've noticed you have to pay attention to the smugglers. I thought it was just a war between,
yeah, 100%,
the two factions. Yeah. But Caleb ended up winning our like mini game.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, we didn't play the full. So
yeah,
I think like there's a like objectives that you can get,
yeah,
that would affect long term that we didn't, yeah, really get to. But yeah, he was like way ahead. And I think it was because I was so focused on the other faction that I just kind of ignored the smugglers.
100%. Where
you have to, you want them on board, but you don't want them getting, yeah, too far, right, ahead.
Do you know what, though? That is such a thing from Root,
yeah,
as well. Because, like you say, we didn't play the full game, and it's got that standard, we played to 30 points or something, like as Arc, same as Root. But we only played to 15 because it was just a demo. And yeah, he seemed to just like fly ahead because he was comboing his little pick up and deliver moves. And I wonder if the smugglers, I haven't played enough to know this, but I wonder if the smugglers are early game. Like in Root, the cats are quite good at picking points up straight away because they build this engine. But when they start getting a bit smashed and like knocked back a bit, they start struggling to pick points up towards the late game. So you've got to, it's that whole thing. I always say Root is not a board game. It's a, it's a political table talking game. Mm-hmm. You have to make alliances and then affect the game. And I think Ahoy could be the same, but a bit lighter. Because I think if we played long term, you and Ben, who were playing the Mollusks and the Sharks, could have easily punished him and got him out of the game a little bit if you went after him. So I guess there's like a... I guess for our mini game, it worked for him and it paid off. But I think you're making a target for your back if you, for the long term game, if you're speeding off ahead, getting points.
Yeah.
But it was great. I loved it. I thought it was so unique. And the way the Mollusks and the Sharks were playing the game were completely different, but really good.
Yeah.
A typical leader games, war, skirmishy sort of game, I'd say.
Yeah, that was Ahoy. Cool. So one other game that we picked, that we played was Tacta.
Yeah,
That was one that we missed. And we just figured out that we'd missed another one as well. So we'll get to that in a minute. But Tacta was this card placement game where it's kind of area control, I guess. I really enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was really good. I think I would have bought this if it was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just like one of them.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Pretty light, clever design. You can smash out in like 5 minutes. Play with anyone. It only takes one round. I don't think you'd even have to explain the rules.
Yeah, you can just go. Yeah, 100%.
I really like the guy that demoed it to us as well. Him. He was hilarious.
Super funny.
He came out with one-liners in the most deadpan expression. And it was just really funny.
Reminded me of that Richard, you know, from IT crowd, Richard had
Oh,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, yeah.
Just really deadpan, but just like really straight, and it just killed me. But I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was a really good game. One that I'd like to play again. Maybe it was a bit of like UKG hype, and I'm just like, oh, this game's incredible.
It was on the same stand as Flip 7, like OP games.
Yeah.
I saw someone, they just mentioned it, so I thought, as we were walking past, I was like, oh, let's just go and check this game out. But yeah, it was, I think you're right, it's just such an easy game to get to the table and a nice filler game to play, or a game that you could take down the pub or out with you. Super, super easy and straightforward to play. What I liked about how easy it was, I think you just play a card and then you just overlay a card on top of that card. And it could either be the corner at an angle or it could be one of the sides. And they score different points depending on it. But the objective is you want to cover other players' cards so they don't score as many points. And then at the end of the game, you just, there's like pips in your colour. And it's whoever gets the most points at the end. And I thought it was just such a clever... I like these games that are super simple, but actually really clever and quite strategic. Yeah. It looks like a right mess at the end of the game. Like, the cards look like you've just dropped them and scattered them around on the table. But every move has been super strategic and that. But yeah, we really enjoyed it. I think I would have maybe have got it, actually, thinking about it, as a simple game to have on the table.
Yeah, I think it's always good to have some of them in your collection.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would definitely fit that category. And cool, so the next game that we played was Transgalactica, another De Vere game. And yeah, what did you think?
It was good. I love De Vere games, as everyone knows, so I was keen to play it. This was the new game that was coming out because... Well, I think it was like a kind of an event exclusive. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was definitely that, but it just so happened to come out the same weekend. Yeah. So, So I was eager to play it. It from the round that we played, because we only played like one round, I did enjoy it, and I could see the different sort of ways of playing it. And I do like those track systems. It's got like four tracks you can go up. You get stronger in that sort of element, whatever that might be. And it can help you kind of build your engine and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I say I like the idea. I don't always think it's been massively executed well.
Okay.
Good, but not like to a good level. Saying that, I've not played Transgalactica a full game to know if they've done it well.
Yeah.
But it has got the tracks, and it's got a bit of like space exploration, moving your ship around spaces and colonizing them or something. I say it's slightly asymmetric, but I don't think it is. It's just more that you start with a set of resources different to everyone else.
Yeah.
You do play like a faction, but I don't think that really gives you anything. It's just more for cosmetic than anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was all right. Yeah, I thought it was good.
Nice. Yeah, I really... I thought it was good, but yeah, give it a full go and then I can definitely gauge an opinion on it.
Yeah, 100%.
I've noticed with Devere, quite a few of their games, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot seem to be more of an efficiency puzzle.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
White Castle seems to be very that. It seemed a bit looser than White Castle.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a lot more to do.
Yeah.
Not to like the level of like a Feast for Odin or something, but yeah, it seems like you put something there, you get something in return,
yeah,
and it's the way that you can min-max them movements. But yeah, I definitely want to give it a go again, because I always like the VR games, and yeah, I want to try as many as I can. I think that's the thing with Devere.
Yeah, 100%. I like the theme of it as well. It's like I don't think they've done like a spacey sci-fi themed. So a lot. I just love those type of games. The artwork's lovely on it. It's just,
They always are, aren't they?
Yeah, really nice production again from them. The only thing is, what was funny is, the guy was telling us when we were playing, they just looked like wooden pieces. And then the table next to it, they all had stickers on. And the guy said, when you buy the game, it comes with like three sheets of stickers, and you have to stick everything on yourself. And the guy took, like 3 hours doing it the night before. And I was like, oh man, why couldn't they just print onto it or something?
You know, yeah, that's a bit strange.
There you go. Yeah, bit odd. But it's nice to see wooden pieces as well rather than plastic.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Wooden pieces are always the best.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. But yeah, that seemed a bit... it kind of made me laugh, because when I looked at it, I was like, they looked really cheap at first, because it's just a block of wood that's been carved into a shape and coloured. And then when they said about the stickers, I was like, oh man, that's a long task, whoever has to do that. But there you go.
Yeah, cool. So that was Transgalactica. Let's move on to the games that we bought. So I'm going to preface this and say that I had a bit of a chilled one this year.
I went...
Not crazy, but I spent way more last year than I was meant to.
Same.
So, you know, I might just do them all in, the ones that we've covered, because I think I only bought one that I haven't mentioned.
Okay.
So I bought Arx.
Yeah.
No surprise there. Love the playthrough. And yeah, just can't wait to get another game of it out. I bought Ahoy.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. More leader. And that was definitely not... Arx, I could see myself buying before I went to the event. And I also bought Final Girl expansion.
Yeah.
I think I covered that on the last UKG
video.
There was Van Ryder stand. They had all the new boxes, and I thought I'd give one of the Season 3 ones a go. I've actually been playing some of my previous Final Girl ones. I defeated the werewolf with the one girl. I wanted to try it with the other one.
Okay.
And oh my word, I just had the worst start.
Oh, right.
Like,
oh, no.
Because the way it is a little bit luck driven, but the card that you pull at the you set up the game and then you pull an event that was to happen. And the event was like the worst possible start that could ever happen. And like five of the civilians died instantly.
Oh no.
And I was just like, well, this is... And his level, the werewolf just went up.
Oh no.
And it was basically at the max on the third round. Oh, and I was just like, this is just awful.
Happens. Happens at times.
I want to play it again and see if I can beat that before I move on to... So the one was the Hunter. I've noticed they all kind of fit like pre-existing IPs.
Yeah.
They just like
change it slightly. Yeah.
This one definitely seems a bit of like Terminator. That kind of
nice.
Judgment Day. Yeah. So I bought that. I still haven't played that yet. So when I've played that, I'll give my opinion. And finally, I bought Flip 7.
Yeah,
another one that we've mentioned. Just really cool card game, fun for all the family. I thought that will just be one that can get out quite often. I played quite a few games of that as well. It's really good. And finally, the last one that I bought that I haven't played yet. I know the concept, but I don't really. I can't tell you if it plays well or anything. It was just a bit of a random one. Was Dying Message?
Oh yeah.
Oink game. Yeah, I just love their one, production. It's a bit bigger than the other Oink games.
Yeah.
So I played Deep Sea Adventure. I've got Scouts. They're all small box, and I've loved the way that they play. And this one is a bit of a social deduction game. So you leave a dying message of the person.
Yeah.
And then the other people, there's a selection they have to guess from the message that you leave.
Oh, looks good.
I just like the idea of it. I thought, I haven't got a single social deduction game. And I trust Oink games.
Yeah, so, cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Cool. I'll move on to you.
Cool. So I had a theme... going into this, which was I've got quite a lot of heavy strategy games, so I didn't want to go too much heavily into that. And then I wanted to kind of like, I've got a bit bored of my light selection. Like, I've been sort of curating a new list of light games. I got a bit sick of Sentry. I think Sentry is a great game, and it's a great game to show new people, but personally, I've just got kind of a bit bored playing it. So I've started to curate this, and I've done that. But I realised one of the things I've got is I've got these really lovely social party games. And I have people around, and we enjoy it. But a lot of them are like wordy sort of games. And I've got a couple of friends that English isn't their first language. So it's always a bit challenging for them. Mm-hmm. They don't get the same sort of thing. So I decided to buy another word game. so the first one, actually, is called Decrypto. Yeah, I know you've got it.
I've got Decrypto. I love Decrypto.
It's one of those that's been around, but I've just not been that bothered. And then we played it a few months ago, and we loved it. And my wife loved it as well. So, and she's actually been going, oh, you've got to get Decrypto. It's so good. We went away on holiday just before UKGE, and a friend lent us it, so we borrowed it and we took it down and we played nearly every night. It was great. And that was it. She was like, you've got to get it. So that was my first game to buy. So I got that. If you like code names, for me this is a better code names.
I'd agree with that.
I think code names back in the day was one of probably the top games you could get in terms of everybody loves it. It's always a good laugh.
Yeah.
But it is a bit sort of simple in terms of you just have your words. You've got to try and get people to guess yours. This has that same thing, but you're also trying to guess the other person's words. And there's this real tense, like, and such a dopamine hit when you think you've figured out their words and you're like, we've got this. And it's just good fun. It's really good little, I guess, deduction game in its own way for like trying to get the words, but also making sure you get yours as well. So Decrypto was great. Going back to my theme then, I do realise I needed some actual like other than wordy games, let's say. So I bought Number 9, which if you've played games like Acropolis, it's kind of like that.
Okay.
You just have tiles of numbers in different shapes. you flip a card, everyone gets that number. You put it in your tableau, and then you're building out like sort of the numbers. You kind of create a base layer, and then you can build on top.
Okay.
The rule is that it can't overhang anything. So if you've got a zero, you can't just go across the middle with another number, or you can't overhang it. And it has to go over two different tiles. It can't just go over one. So you can't just put a seven and then a seven over the top of the seven. It has to go over two. Yeah. And the way it scores is every number that's... So it's from zero to nine. Everything on level one... the first level is actually level zero. So that scores by itself. So if you've got a nine on the bottom floor, you do nine times zero, so you don't get any points.
Okay.
When you start building it up, they will let, that's when they, so the next level, which will be level one, that will be the number times the level it's on. So nine times one, eight times one, then it goes up. So you're trying to like build up the floor so you get maximum points. Because if you can get like an eight or a nine on floor four and you're doing eight times four, you're going to smash big points. Man. But it's really hard to do that. Really hard to like twist and turn them to get them. We have played it since UKGA and everyone was like... it's kind of like no one was interested at first. And then as the game was going, they were like, oh, this is really hard. And like, they were getting into it. So that was quite good. Flip 7. So I'm sure all of us bought Flip 7. I've been playing it on BGA for some time. So I just love that sort of push your luck style of game. We've been loving it. We've been playing it quite often. So that's been really good. So I mentioned Timber Town. So I got that.
Yeah.
I bought it because of the reasons said. It has some flexibility. It's got some replayability in it. It's a lovely two-player. Played it with my wife. She kind of got into it straight away. So it's not too difficult to learn. She flukily won. Say flukily. Maybe strategically she won. I don't know. Going on to the bigger games then. So I bought Transgalactica, which we mentioned. The story with that is it was the event kind of De Vere game that was coming out. And I thought, well, I've got to buy it. But then on Friday, there was nowhere selling it. So I went to a stand, spoke to them, and they said Cosmos will have it. So I went over to Cosmos and they said, we haven't got it, but there's like a truck outside ready to load up. Like, but they couldn't stock the stand until it shut afterwards. So they said, come back tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. So I came back Saturday morning and I thought I'd just be like going straight up buying the game. As soon as it like 9 o'clock hit and the stands open, I walked in and there was like a queue already. And I was like, what? And I was about 20, 30 kind of deep in the queue. Yeah. And I kind of came up and said, is this everyone buying Transgalactica? And the guy in front went, yep, you got it. And I was like, wow, like, I'm glad I came. And then as I got near the front, someone said, oh, we've got like 100 copies left. No, they only had 100 copies delivered or something. So I was like, and then when I bought mine, I looked back and there was an even bigger queue behind. So I was glad I got it. Whether they sold out, I don't know, but or they got more copies the next day, I'm not sure, but managed to bag a copy. So we talked about that. I will probably play that pretty soon. The sticker story that I was mentioning, I'm in the process. We've been starting to put stickers on things, so that'll take some time.
You know, there was one where it was like, don't bother putting it around because it's circular.
Yeah, the little dome one.
Yeah, you're not going to bother with that
one. No, I think I'm going to take that advice.
Yeah.
So apparently it just peels straight off, so can't be bothered with that. So I did that. I bought Windmill Valley. So that was a game that was demoed last year. Really like the look of it. I do like that Danny Garcia's games. She does some really cool stuff. So yeah, I saw it last year, really liked it. Just didn't get round to playtesting it, just the tables were just so hectic, couldn't get on it. Thought about buying it but just didn't. Heard some good things since. And it was the last day and I just felt a little bit, I kind of did all my buying the first couple of days and I felt a little bit of FOMO that I wasn't buying anything on the last day. And Sunday is normally the day I get a little bit cheeky and ask for, you know, if there's any deals or anything. There was the Black Forest going really cheap, I think at Chaos Cards. It was like £40.
Yeah.
And I went up and I was so close to buying it, left, came back about an hour later, and they sold out. So they must have got, everyone must have grabbed it at that price. So then I kind of was looking around. I saw Windmill Valley, got a bit of a deal on it, which was good. Can't wait to play it. Really cute little game. And then finally, my I guess my big purchase this year, when we finally got into the bring and buy, the first game I literally saw on the shelf was Wonderland's War. I've been after this game for some time because not a lot of people sell the game.
Yeah.
When they do, it's quite expensive. People want at least like 100 quid for the game. I saw it there, got it for a good price. It's not the deluxe edition with all the miniatures. It's just got the kind of card in standees. I don't mind that. I've played it since. I really like it. Really good. So unique, but it's got that sort of Quacks style of bag pulling, which is quite cool. We kind of had a bit of fun. So yeah, can't wait to play a little bit more and like get a few different games of it out and try it.
I really want to play that.
Yeah, really good. I don't think it's going to leave my shelf, probably. Okay. Who knows, maybe in a few years' time some more games come out and it beats it. But it is worth it. I can see why people don't want to sell it. It's really, really clever. I'd say it's quite complicated to teach because there's a lot of nuances to it and how the battling works. But it's actually quite a straightforward game. Once you kind of got that under your belt, I think it's quite straightforward and quite easy to pick up. So the last thing I bought, which was just a little thing, Far Away had an expansion pack. We just added more cards.
Nice.
It was called, I've got it somewhere here, Far From Below. And it adds actually some of the cave cards scores for the grey cards, which you don't normally get.
Oh, nice.
Like any points for those. But that's added that kind of into it. It's got a few other little things as well, which
you know what?
Cool.
I've got a feeling, I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure I played an expansion on BGA.
Okay.
And I don't know whether it is.
It might be that.
I don't know if it is that one.
Yeah, it might be. I think it's been out for some time, but I think they only had like the French version of it for a while, and they've just recently brought it out in English. So yeah, I managed to grab a pack. I kind of totally forgot that I was actually going to try and look for that. And then when I got there and I saw it, I was like, oh, I'll buy it. It was only like £5-6.
Yeah.
Just add a few extra cards to the game, which was pretty cool. I quite like that. I think that actually more board games should do things like that.
Yeah, rather than that's a good idea.
I think Sky Team's done it with an extra pack, which gives you a few extra missions and that. It's a nice way of doing it without having to buy a full expansion, but get some more out of the game that you've already got. So that was pretty much it. Quite light compared to my normal haul. Last year, I think we had like over like 10 games each. This time's just a small handful, so that was quite good.
Is there any games that you'd wish you'd bought? I know you said Black Forest, but
I said about Ahoy and whether I should have bought Ahoy. I was going to buy it. The other friend that we were playing with, who literally lives around the corner from me, loved it as well, and he said he wanted to get it, and I just felt like we both didn't need a copy of the game.
Yeah,
especially you've got it, he's got it, and I thought if I'm going to play it, it's going to be with one of you two anyway, so I didn't feel the need to buy it. But I do like the collector's side of Ahoy with the expansions, and I would probably go all out and get it all. But I guess that was a bit of a purchase. I'm not bothered, like I'm glad someone's got it and we can play. I guess that was something. There was a few little kind of games that were interesting. There was one we saw, Board Stupid did a review on one of the days of Tenby. We went to go and view it, and it was a cute little game about the village of Tenby in Wales. Yeah. And it's like this kind of, you're laying out a street and you're scoring points, bit like Far Away, like you're scoring points depending on where it sits within the row, and it combos off of the cards next to it. I would have liked to have I'd love to have bought that. I think I spent enough and I had enough to play, so I didn't want to bite the bullet just yet.
Yeah, I've still got things that I haven't played from last year.
100%,
So I was half, but then at the same time, I would have bought Galactic Cruise, but they didn't have any copies left. I went to Iseti again. They didn't have any.
Yeah.
I think next year I'm going to go from the Foral Friday to Sunday because I've missed out on some stuff like that. There was one other as well that I've really... I was umming and ahhing about Luthia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the other one that I was like, I really would like to give this... Yeah, I could see myself... I love Distilled.
Yeah.
I like the way their games play. Is it Paverson?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love the... It looks so good on the table.
Yeah, it did. It looked incredible.
I know.
The only reason I was tempted to buy that, the only reason I didn't is because they ran out of Deluxe Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I'm going to buy that game, I'd buy it in Deluxe.
Yeah,
it just looks so incredible with everything in the Deluxe version. So, well, that'll be next event. We'll be looking out for that.
I really want a Lacerda game as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Preference? Anything?
I really want to try the Gallerist.
Okay, yeah.
I've never played a Lacerda game. And
yeah.
I felt like UKG is the chance to get them. Like, they're really hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of regret not getting one.
Okay.
Yeah. But
sounds good. The only other game I really wanted, and I was umming and ahhing all day whether I should do it, is Earthbound Rangers. So I really want to give that a go. And actually, you showed me where the stand was eventually. Because I saw someone with it. I said, oh, is someone selling this? They go, yeah, there's a stand with a load of them in. And at first I was like, okay... I've missed this, and then you'd seen it, so you'd show me where it was, and they had loads, and I was thinking, man, I really wanted to buy the Bullet. about £85, which I don't think is bad for a legacy campaign game, but I just felt like I'd spent enough, and like you, I've got games I've bought from last year's UKG I've not played.
Yeah,
I've got games I bought from Harrogate Aircon that I've not played, and I was like, am I really going to play it? So I think I would have if I did buy it, because I would have got a group together and we would have played it properly. But I'm sure it'll be around at some point and I will buy it eventually. But yeah, it was one game that I just didn't bite the bullet for.
Yeah, you know what? There's two sides to board gaming, I think. There's like the collecting and the actual playing. And I think sometimes I mean, my collection isn't huge, but I think you can lean into, especially when you're first into the hobby, you can lean into, oh, I need to get this game.
100%, yeah.
Where I'm trying to move a little bit away from that and going into actually, oh, playing this game. If I'm not playing it, then I might as well just trade it and go with more of that approach.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, going off on a bit of a tangent.
No, it's good, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So that's UKGE. Quickly discuss favourite stand. Did you have one?
Favourite stand? I'm a bit of a sucker for the big sort of retail ones in terms of buying, like Travelling Man.
Chaos Cards are always
good. Chaos Cards are always good. I've got a shout out to Chaos Cards because they are really reasonably priced. I think Travelling Man is good as well, but Chaos Cards just seem to have really good prices. They're fair. When you get chatting to them, they're always happy to kind of do a deal if it just means getting you the game. Obviously making the sale for them, but I think they're ultra fair and I think it's brilliant. I like the way they lay their tables out as well. It's kind of like Zatu's is kind of like enclosed in the, and it's quite cramped, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a U.
Yeah, with shelving around. Yeah. And kind of, as the others just have one big table and you kind of go around the whole thing, don't you? I just prefer them. So for retail, that, in terms of actual stand, I did like Leaders Games stand. I thought they've got lovely...
I would have picked that.
Yeah, just lovely. They really spend the time and really think about how they do the stand. It looks really great.
Yeah.
Design-wise as well as functional.
Mm.
They've got quite a few tables. But I think some of the others, Alley Cat Games was the same. Quite nice. I'll probably give it to Leader for me.
Yeah, same here. I think, actually, another Travelling Man.
Yeah.
I really regret not getting Robinson Crusoe.
Okay.
They had a damage box section.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
There was some really good bargains. They had two copies of Robinson Crusoe, one for £20.
Oh, wow.
The box was like severely damaged on that one. And there was one for 27. It was just like the corner.
Okay.
And I was just like, oh, 27 quid. And I spoke to the guy. He was like, oh, I'll do it for 24 if you want. And I don't know why. I just didn't get it. And it's been on my to play for ages.
Yeah.
And for 24 quid, I was just like, that seems such a good deal.
Yeah, 100%.
I went back later and it'd gone. No surprise. But
yeah.
I thought that's a really good idea. I know Zatu do it as well a little bit. It's more online, but... Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people were getting from that damage box section. Yeah. And it's a good way of, instead of it going in the dump.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Definitely. I would say another stand, actually. OP Games was quite good, the way they laid it out.
Yeah.
So they had a game on like each corner sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was quite clever how they did that for their little simple games. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. But those retail stores that do it with the table, I think it's great because it's... it can still get a little bit cramped, don't get me wrong, and you're kind of like fighting your way in to look at what price something is, but it's good. Yeah,
nice. So that wraps up UKGE for this year.
UKGE,
well, no doubt we're there next year.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it annoys me how long it's going
to
be.
I know. we're going to have to find an excuse to go to another conference soon. It's great to meet people. If you've got any, like, if you saw us there, give us a shout out. We'll definitely give you one back. And we'll see you on the next one.
Awesome.
Cool. See you in a bit.